Welcome to Hype episode 120. My name is Selena. I'm here with Pam for another exciting show about pop culture news and discussion. Hi.
Yay! Hi.
Yay! That intro sounded very like, oh my god, let's do this. So I just got a little bit self-conscious there towards the end.
I'm always ready.
Well, that's good. That's good. You got the spirit for it. I was actually super worried that I would open the show like speaking in really posh British because I've been, this is kind of sneak peeking at how we hype, but I've been finishing my watch of Netflix's The Crown, and they all speak like really proper and really sort of up here. And I'm like, oh no,
That's how I feel anytime I go into a Great British Bake Off binge. Like, oh, I'm going to work on my sponge cake.
Welcome to Hype, everybody. Oh my god.
We're offending all of our UK accents, listeners
right
now.
Right. No, everyone's so turning sorry. It off. We're so sorry. Just be glad I'm not speaking with a proper Danish accent, though. That would be awful. Anyway, this is not about us. This is about entertainment, obviously. So we're going to get to that in a little bit. But as always, we want to remind you of our contact information. If you want to share your feedback on this week's news, or if you want to share any recommendations you have with us, you can do that by emailing hype@hypeable.com. You can find us on Twitter @hypeablehype. You can find us on Instagram @HypeableHype, and you can find us on Hypeable.com, which is HYPABLE.com. Go to the podcast post in the right-hand side and write us a comment on there. And you can also find us on Tumblr, which is HypePodcast.tumblr.com. A little sneak peek, we actually have a lot of listener feedback this week because we asked for your TV show recommendations, and you guys send in so much that I have no idea how I'm going to get any work done with all of the stuff that I apparently have to watch because it's amazing. But I guess sort of moving swiftly into how we hype, getting back to what I was talking about with The Crown, that, and obviously Gilmore Girls, is what has been taking up my time recently. I put it up here in How We Hype instead of TV Show of the Week because it is kind of technically not of this week. It's of next week. I am previewing The Crown for Netflix to write up some reviews for Hypeable. The Crown is, I've talked about it on here before, it's the show about Queen Elizabeth II's younger years. It stars Claire Foy and Matt Smith and John Lithgow. And I'm going to say I'm done with it. I actually have 20 minutes left of the last episode that I was just watching before coming on the show. I just wanted to bring it up because it's so good. Like, I'm really excited. It comes out November 4th and everyone needs to watch it. I'm so impressed with it. And I had no real interest in Elizabeth II before I watched it, full disclosure, but it's just blowing me away. I don't know if you managed to watch some of it yet, Pam.
I have. I started it and it's amazing. Matt Smith is so good. Mm-hmm. And it's just, oh my gosh, it's so good. The costumes are great. The setting is wonderful. And it really, I don't know very much about the history like of England at that time. Like, I know just like some highlights, but I would be interested to hear about how accurate it is and things like
that. I know
that.
Like, as I'm watching it along, like, and I know Merima, because Merima's seen it too, and she was saying the same thing, like, as you're watching along, you pause it and you go and you like, you Google, you're like, did this really happen, or like, what was the deal with this person? Because it feels like it's all real, and obviously it's not, because it's not a biography or it's not a documentary or anything, but there's just so many little nuances and so many little tidbits of information that, like, if that really happened, that's like really salacious in a way that I wasn't expecting.
But it's and like it's yeah. Amazing. I'm so excited for everybody else to like get on our level with this because it's mm-hmm. so good, and I understand now why Netflix like pumped so much money into it. Basically, I think it's going to be a winner for sure.
I know. Yeah, it's apparently it's the most expensive show that Netflix ever done, and like, you can tell. And I think honestly, like, not that a show is defined by its set design or costumes or anything like that, but it just, you feel like you're really living these people's lives. And it's not even, It's not overstated. I think that's the brilliance of it. It's not like they made a really expensive set and they want to show it off from every possible angle. It's simply like, this is the space that these people inhabit. This is the clothes that they wear. This is the jewelry that they have. And it's normal. But it just paints such a complete picture of what their lives were like. And I think it's just... it's amazing, but obviously it would mean nothing if not for the amazing acting and wonderful sort of really personal insights into these people's lives. I actually have a really long review up on Hyperbole of the first 4 episodes where I pretty much say all the same things that I said now, but longer. If you guys want to, you know, see it written down, you can check that out on Hyperbole, because and I'm going to have another review up of the whole thing. And I'm very impressed. And actually, it was kind of funny because I was watching it, and I think episode 6 or 7, Paul Thornley, who plays Ron Weasley in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, appeared. And I knew him by his voice. Because obviously I've gone to see, humble brag, I've gone to see it. but I was just like, there's something here. And then I had to look it up to make sure, because I couldn't 100% recognize him in the role. But yeah, so that was kind of fun. There's technically a Harry Potter actor in it.
I love how you're just like, a wild Ron appeared.
I know. But it was super fun. It's a lot of familiar faces in it. And you're absolutely right about Matt Smith. He's spectacular. But I still think the star is Claire Foy. Like her Elizabeth is just mind-blowing.
And the transition, because of course, like, I don't think she ever really thought she would like really be ruling to the extent that she ends up ruling. But just like the subtleties and the way that they kind of start breeding her, or her father starts breeding her for the role and stuff like that. It's just so amazing to watch. And I think that's why we're all kind of like, oh, like, let's look up the history and stuff. But I know we've said this before, and like, in all honesty, like, if you end up watching this and you're one of our UK listeners, please write in and let us know what you think, and let us know if it's like accurate from what you know and like all that stuff, because I think it's going to be interesting to see how that part of the world reacts specifically to this.
And now I feel bad because I'm taking up so much time with this at the top of the show, but I was thinking, when I saw Iron Lady, I don't know if you've seen that, about Margaret Thatcher.
I thought
that was spectacular, because it allowed me and the audience in general to get a look at this super contentious character, or human being, I guess, in a really sympathetic light. Like, it's not like you suddenly agreed with her politically or liked her as a person, but the movie allowed her to become a human being. And I know that Thatcher and Elizabeth is like, it's not even on the same level, but there's a lot of people, you know, who have a lot of conflicting feelings about the monarchy and who don't necessarily feel like, I don't know, maybe wouldn't like a show that, it's not that it paints them necessarily in a sympathetic light, but it allows them to be real human beings with real emotion who you're made to empathize with. And I'm just wondering, because when I was talking to some of my British friends about how much I loved the Iron Lady movie, they got really mad at me because they were like, you can't, like, this movie, you can't paint her in this positive light. Like, you cannot make a commercial movie that paints her in such a, like, positive light, because she was such a horrible person that did all these horrible things. And I feel like when you're, it's a bad comparison, I know it as I'm saying it, and I don't mean to compare the two women, I just mean, when you're so close to this public figure, how do you feel about seeing that so close, you know, when it's so recent too?
I think, like, even what is it, I think Oliver Stone did that W movie, the George Bush one. I think it was Oliver Stone. It's very similar, because, like, even that, like, is something that came out when Bush was still our president, and like, it's just really odd to see, and it's like, you don't really know how you feel about it, and it's just weird. It's different from, like, saying Daniel Day-Lewis, Abraham Lincoln, because his time has passed. Like, we've had time to kind of come to terms with whether or not, like, how we feel, basically, about Abraham Lincoln. Like, so it's the same thing. Like, I totally get it. It's just, and it is still, like, very much like modern history.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be super interesting to see how it's received in Britain, you know, is basically what it comes down to. Like, I'll be very, very curious to see what people think. Like, people I know who maybe don't like the monarchy. Like, I'm pretty, like, apathetic about, you know, I don't have any strong feelings on the British monarchy, obviously, because I'm not British. So it'll just be really, really interesting to see people's reactions. And I guess moving on from The Crown, it'll be out on Netflix on November 4th, as I said. So let us know what you guys thought of it. We will be, even more than the Brits, we'll be curious to hear what Hype listeners have to say about it.
That's
is that
right.
terrible?
No.
Equally excited.
Equally
Let's put
excited.
It that way.
Yeah.
What well, do you have?
Save you from yourself. I'm on a completely different wavelength. I watched Shay Carl's vlogumentary. He's been working on this for years and years and years. This is
who?
Actually
Shay
over...
who?
Shay Carl is he's a YouTuber. His family is kind of credited as being the first family of vloggers. They started back in I think in 2009 or maybe earlier, and they have just filmed their lives online for years and years and years. He actually, with a bunch of other YouTubers, they started Maker Studio, which was then bought by Disney. It was kind of one of like the first big deals in YouTube, like the big, like, yeah, it's just like, I think like that really set the pace for other companies realizing that there was money to be made here. Anyway, he has been working on this documentary for years and years and years, and it's a very interesting look at not necessarily YouTube culture, but why vloggers are so fascinating to the public. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily just him talking to vloggers like for example, like Charles Trippy is like, he plays like a huge role in this documentary. He and his then wife, like he is basically like vlogged every day since he started, and even through like his like tumor removal surgery and everything. It's like, it's crazy like how much people choose to share on the internet. But what I really liked about this is that it really went into kind of like the nitty gritty of like kind of like the money aspect, but also like the success aspect. He didn't just interview people that are like involved in YouTube. He interviewed like reporters from Forbes and things like that. And he also showed a side that people don't usually see, which is that just because you have like a certain followership or subscriber count or anything, it doesn't necessarily mean that like fame and money follows. There is a YouTuber who also, I think she also worked on BuzzFeed for a while, named Gabby Dunn. She wrote this great article a couple of years ago called Get Rich or Die Vlogging, The Sad Economics of Internet Fame. I don't know if you ever stumbled across this, but she talked about basically this very paradox where like you could have like say like 90,000 Instagram followers, or you could have like a very successful YouTube channel, but it doesn't necessarily mean that money is flowing in, because the ad deals and all of that stuff is just like singular person to person. And because yeah. nobody ever really talks about it, there's no way to regulate like how much everybody's getting. So like Crest, for example, could pay one YouTuber this amount of money to publicize like whitening strips, but they might pay less for like another YouTuber with like a similar subscriber account. And it's just like, it's very interesting to see kind of that he really took the time to talk to people that were very successful, like the Vlog Brothers, people that we all kind of know, smaller people that like maybe you haven't heard of, and then kind of like people in between. So it's just like a very interesting case study on the situation as a whole.
Yeah.
And I think that if you're intrigued, because I'm not a big fan of YouTube, I think I'm a casual viewer. So for somebody like me, this was very eye-opening. And I think if you were like a bigger fan, you could probably enjoy this as well. But if you are a YouTube Red subscriber and you're looking for something to watch, I highly recommend the vlogumentary by Shay Carl. And also, if you haven't tried out YouTube Red, I think you get a free month subscription. So if you're interested cool. in that, you can sign up for a month, watch this for free, and then cancel out before they charge you the $9.99. But yeah.
Vlogumentary sounds very, very exciting. Let us know if you decide to check that out. Moving into the news now, we have a bunch of cool stories. And actually, we were talking about this before the show. This hasn't happened in a long time. It's basically like all TV this week. We have a couple of outlier stories that are different. But between me and Pam, I guess we just found TV stories the most interesting this week. So we hope that you guys agree, and we'll send you to Hypebo for some more stuff going on. But really, it's been a very slow week for film. It's been big stuff happening in TV, as we call it, revival land. So we'll have to see what they come up with this week. But first, a movie/music news story.
Yes, we finally got a little bit more of a first look for the music for Disney's Moana, which of course was written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who we all know and love from things like In the Heights and Hamilton. So we actually got a couple of little music clips. First of all, Dwayne The Rock Johnson took to Instagram to share a little behind the scenes clip of him singing a song called You're Welcome, which his character Maui sings. And he kind of talks about the fact that like Lin wrote it. And Lin kind of talks about the fact that when he was sitting down to pen the song, he thought about what he would like to hear The Rock sing, and he settled on You're Welcome. And you get a little bit of like that, like kind of like the rap element towards the middle. It's just like a fun, cute sneak peek. If you want to check it out, it's over on Hypebo. The song sounds super catchy. I always get excited for Disney music, but I think I'm even more excited for Moana's music because I know that Lin is involved and he just like injects magic into everything he touches, basically, because he's so brilliant. We also have a short little clip of Moana meeting Maui for the first time. So there's tons of like little behind the scenes stuff going up for this movie, which comes out on November 23rd. So we're coming up to the release date. And then additionally,
yeah, you know when it comes out in Denmark?
Oh, I'm sorry. Vaiana, right?
Vaiana comes out in March 2017.
No. You're going to have to wait so long.
No.
We need to get you like some screener access or something. This is just not going to work.
Just fly me out.
Don't they know who you are?
I know.
Well,
I'm me. Vaiana.
This is the story about you.
That's what we're all called over here.
Well, you might not be able to enjoy this movie very soon, but one thing you can enjoy in full is one of the singles from Moana. This is not in the story that has the clip of Maui singing, but this came out after. Alessia Cara, who you might know from such singles as Here, she's also on tour right now with Coldplay. She's a relatively new artist. She's Canadian, but she has had some mainstream success. She actually has a single for Moana out called How Far I'll Go, and it's really, really good. I really enjoyed this a lot, and I also thought it was really nice of not really nice, but it was really like refreshing to see Disney give something like this to a singer that, you know, it's not like a Beyonce. I feel like a lot of times like big Disney singles, especially for like Disney princess movies, are given to bigger artists and stuff. And she's still kind of like a newcomer, even though she's been out for a couple of years. So it was really nice to see her get an opportunity like this. And she's got a killer voice. The track is so, so good. So if you have not checked that out yet, go take a listen. The song again is called How Far I'll Go. And Alessia Cara is the one that's singing it. So
yeah. Really cool. I'm very excited to see this movie in 5 months. But anyway, great news on the movie front. That brings us to TV show news. Our first story is some sad news and unexpected, I think. We were all pretty excited about Star Trek Discovery, the TV series that's set to bring more diversity and more sort of progressiveness to the Star Trek universe. But we've just learned that Brian Fuller, who was meant to spearhead the show, has stepped down as showrunner to focus on other projects. This kind of follows the news that the show would be delayed until May 2017 from its original release date. And Brian Fuller is working on American Gods right now, which is another project that we're super excited about. But he has now chosen to sort of leave Discovery behind, but he will still be involved as executive producer. It'll be Gretchen Berg and Aaron Harberts, who were already executive producers on the show, that will be the new showrunners. CBS released a statement about Fuller's decision saying, "We are extremely happy with the creative decision of Star Trek Discovery and the strong foundation that Brian Fuller has helped us create for the series. Due to Brian's other projects, he's no longer able to oversee the day-to-day of Star Trek, but he remains an executive producer and will continue to map out the story arc for the entire series." And Alex Kurtman will also be overseeing the project. So basically, it's really sad that they're losing Brian Fuller as showrunner, because I think he has proven time and time again that he is a really strong showrunner with a very strong creative vision, and sort of making it more of a group project might make it all feel a little bit less coherent. But all that said, like, it's hard for me to be too worried, because this sounds like a really good series, and I think the collaborative process works on a show like this. Like, if everyone's really excited about the idea and if everyone wants to make it really great, like, I don't necessarily think it's going to be a disaster. It's just kind of a shame.
It's definitely bittersweet, for sure. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like he's still going to pop in here and there. So I'm sure we'll still kind of feel...
Yeah, he's still
going to
be working on it and stuff. So,
And I think that it's kind of... It's also kind of nice, because as nice as it would have been to have him spearhead it, it's also kind of good to know that, like, they've made the decision so that the show doesn't fall down the cracks, because he doesn't have the time to necessarily put, like, 110% into it. So I think, like, purely from, like, a strategic point of view, this is a very smart move if he's got, like, too much on his plate to, you know, mm-hmm. let somebody else spearhead and have him kind of add things here and there. So,
yeah. Right.
Well, moving on from Star Trek to another beloved series, kind of, you know, more from, like, the O's, though. You guys, this is, like, the WTF news of the week. That's So Raven's coming back to the Disney Channel, leading, kind of following in the footsteps of Girl Meets World. Raven Simone, who, of course, played Raven Baxter on this show, she's going to come back to reprise her role as a much more grown-up Raven Baxter. She's actually leaving her spot on The View to executive produce and star in the new sitcom for the Disney Channel, which will find Raven as a single mother to two preteens, one of whom has inherited her ability to gaze into the future.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. And as we know from the theme song, life is not always a breeze when you can do this. So normally I would be like, this is the worst idea ever, but I have said this before on the show. I'm such a huge fan of what they've been doing on Girl Meets World that now if like I really think that show is, like, it's so good. I tune into it consistently anytime there's a new episode. So I'm going to say I'm excited about this just because I feel like if they put an ounce of the effort that Girl Meets World puts into, like, their episodes, like, this is going to be just fine. And it's going to be really fun for people of our generation to enjoy, and also for, like, younger kids to enjoy as well. Because I honestly feel like a lot of the Disney Channel programming over the past, like, you know, like, maybe, like, 5-10 years has, like, kind of been, like, really lacking. There's just, mm-hmm. like, not, like, that fun element that it used to have back in the O's. And so it's kind of nice that, like, if they can get back on track with that and kind of, like, bring back some of these older shows and then also, like, use those to springboard into some new original content, I think that it's going to be a nice, like, facelift for the Disney Channel to kind of really put some more fun programming out there for kids, because I think that that's what's really been missing over the past couple of years. I mean, I have younger cousins, so I tune in every once in a while to some of the new shows. But
right. Yeah, it's. I mean... I'm not super up on children's TV shows, I will admit, but the glimpses that I've caught have been terrible. Like, I have no idea what's going on in children's TV right now, but it's not good. And I think, like, there's a lot to be said for reboots and spin-offs and remakes and blah, 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 blah. Like, we've said it all a million times, but I think, I mean, and I haven't seen My Girl Meets the World. My girl, I'm sorry, Girl Meets World or Boy Meets World. I was mixing it up with another show. But I feel like something like I'm so Raven. Oh my God, I can't do this. What is it? She's So
That's
Raven.
So Raven. That's well, it so might be Raven. She's So Raven. We don't know.
Well, that could be the title of the show. She's So Raven. She's So Raven. I'm So Raven. But anyway, 3-eyed Raven. It's going to be her and her two kids, right? But so, like, anyway, it feels like it was a really important show when it was on, and I feel like just bringing that back, like, it's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, it could be fun, and it could capture some of the spirit of of children's TV that arguably isn't really there anymore. So I think when in this case, I think it's a good thing. Like, honestly, I think it's a fine idea. And why not? Like, why not go back and do more Raven, you know?
You know, and I think that I'll just say very quickly, what Girl Meets World has done very well is that they do steep in that element of nostalgia. Obviously, Corey and Topanga are Riley's parents, so they're always there. But they're very smart about the way they inject kind of references to Boy Meets World and also how they bring back characters. And what they do phenomenally is they allow this new generation of kids to stand on their own. So they're always the focal point of the story, and they've done a really good job of developing their story arc as a group of friends and as individuals. And I think that that's really smart, because it could have been so easy for them to kind of focus a little bit more on the nostalgia aspect and have like these new kids fall into the cracks, basically. And they're not doing that. It took the show a while to find its footing, but it's just like the way they're doing it is so well done. So I'm hoping that they put the same amount of care into That's So Raven when That's So Raven, the spinoff, I should say, as they have with Girl Meets World, because if they can do something similar, then I think that it has the potential to do very well for them. So yeah. It's hard with Disney Channel too, because they have a really fast turnaround rate. Like, they have this strange idea in their heads that kids are going to get tired of the same program. So most shows don't go past 3 seasons. And I don't know why that is, but I think that that's the reason why, like, their programming
maybe
is hit
because
or miss.
They're not that good.
Maybe, I mean, but it's been happening, you know? Since like Lizzie McGuire. Okay. Like at the height of like Hannah Montana, at the height of everything, it's like, nope, like it's been on too long. Kids are bored. Let's cut it. So it's very strange the way that they choose to do things. But it's a fun time for the Disney Channel. Let us know if you're interested in this. I think a lot of people of our generation were just excited for the nostalgia, but I'd be curious to hear what our listeners think. So
for sure. And as well, I mean, keeping on the reboot track, I mean, That's So Raven was one. The other big one is obviously Will and Grace, which had their big surprise reunion special about the election a couple of weeks back, which was just amazing and hilarious and totally captured the tone of the original show. Well, it seems like NBC is picking up on that and actually working on a limited run of original episodes. So if this were to come to pass, we would probably be looking at something like the X-Files revival. And this is I'm torn on this, I will admit, because I loved Will and Grace. I thought it was great when it was on. I thought the reunion special was sort of, I think we talked about that too, how it was kind of like the perfect balance. Like, you didn't need to bring something back in order to make like a reunion special, and you didn't need to make it a big thing. You could just sort of do it and it'd be really fun, and it worked really well, and it didn't feel cheesy. But now I almost feel like that's kind of cheapened now. Like, if they're just gonna do another new run of Will and Grace, I'm like, that's not really, like, that just falls into reboot territory for me, and I'm not a fan. I don't know how you feel about it.
I don't know. I'm conflicted. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I hate to say that, like, no. I hate to say no to this, because what if it's good? You know?
I know. And it's not saying no necessarily. It's just I was so happy about the presidential reunion video they did, because I felt like that was such a great way to do something without having to just go back and tell more stories in this world, you know?
Yeah, I think that, like, you know, to be honest with you, obviously, like, I'm going to compare this to Gilmore Girls, because it's something that I equally love. And as much as I would love more Gilmore Girls, I think that with shows like Gilmore Girls and even Will and Grace, it's nice to check in on these characters every once in a while. Mm-hmm. So if they wanted to do something limited like that, I think that would be nice. You know, which is,
I guess, so. Yeah, I guess. I mean, like, and X-Files and stuff like that. I think it's just, you know, it's too much. Like,
It is a lot, because you're also kind of thinking, like, man, like, have we completely run out of ideas? And there's so much good TV, so clearly we haven't. But, like, have most people, like, do they feel like they need to just go back and revisit the classics, so to speak? It's not bad, but it's, like, we're inundated with so much that I understand why it's almost too much.
Basically. Yeah, and it also, I think, and this is also just me being super cynical, but it's also sometimes feel like these shows come because the actors want it, you know, like because maybe the actors have been trying some things out and now they're like, okay, well, that didn't work out. What am I going to do? I'm going to go back to the role that I'm known for and I'm just going to do more of that because I know people like it. And I'm not necessarily saying that's the case for Will and Grace, but it certainly seems to have been the case for things like Fuller House and a couple of other shows that no need to go into it. But basically, it feels a little bit like a, well, let's just make more of the same because we know people like it and we know people like me as that person. And so let's just stick to that. And I think that attitude to pop culture, and I think that's what we're seeing in general with all of these remakes and reboots and continuations of the same stuff, is that we feel familiar retreading old ground. And that doesn't mean it can't be good, certainly. I mean, I'm happy the Gilmore Girls thing is happening and all of that, but I just sometimes feel like it's happening because the society needs that stability right now. It needs shows like This Is Us, you know, to be like, guys, everyone is nice. It's all good. And it needs stuff that we used to watch 10 years ago because it's like, guys, remember when everything was like this? Like, oh, you know, forget about the world. It's fine. But I, you know, always feel a little bit like, okay, so that's another slot that's going to something that's just giving me more of what I've already seen. And so that's where the complication comes from.
Yeah, and I think that that's okay. I think it's okay to, like, as much as we love some of these shows, it's okay to demand more from the creatives that are putting plans into motion behind the scenes. I think that that's, mm-hmm. that's healthy as consumers for us to say, like, as much, you know, like, we love all this stuff, but, like, but where's the new?
Yeah.
Because new isn't always bad.
No.
So.
Yeah.
And just anyway, some, just some food for thought.
It's, for sure.
Funnily enough, we're heading into some slightly more reboot territory here. But this is kind of a movie that's getting the the TV treatment. We talked about this about a year ago now. Back in March of last year, we learned that The Heathers, the cult classic The Heathers, was getting a TV treatment and. It is TV, right? I'm not going crazy.
Yeah,
it's yeah, that's TV. What I thought. I was like, it's such a strange concept for them to take something like The Heathers that I just have to make sure. Anyway, so The Heathers is getting the TV treatment, and now, according to Deadline, we have a cast list of the main Heathers. So this is going to be interesting for anybody that's a huge fan of this movie. And it came with a bit of a surprise. They decided to gender bend the cast a bit. So the role of Heather Duke, which was originally portrayed by Shannon Doherty, is going to be played by Brendan Scannell. So that's kind of interesting. It's going to put a fun new twist on the idea of these school bullies. Melanie Field is going to play Heather Chandler, who was originally portrayed by Kim Walker. And Jasmine Matthews is going to play Heather McNamara, yeah. That name always, like, trips me up. I don't know why. And she's going to be the weak-willed cheerleader who emerges as a kind of towards the ends of the film. That's when we see her. But her role was originally portrayed by Lisanne Falk. So if you're a fan of the movie, I think this is definitely big news for you. It's going to be interesting to see kind of how this all plays out. I'm a casual fan of The Heathers in the sense that I've seen the movie a couple of times. I was amused, but I'm not really sure. It's kind of one of those things where, like, I'm interested to see how long this can actually go on in a TV format. Because
so, I have no idea what The Heathers is. So could you give me, like, a really brief rundown of what's it about?
Okay, basically? It's very similar to Mean Girls. It's like kind of like the original Mean Girls. So the Heathers are a group, they're like the biggest clique in this high school, and they're three wealthy girls named Heather. So the leader is Heather Chandler, and then you have like the bookish one, and that's Heather Duke, the Shannon Doherty character. And then the kind of like the weakling of the trio is Heather McNamara. And so they're kind of, it's similarly to the Mean Girls, they're just like kind of like revered, but also feared and also hated. And they very similarly to Mean Girls, they invite this new girl to come into their clique, and it kind of goes from there. So if you think about it in that sense, it's like, basically like the original Mean Girls.
Oh, okay. So it's basically like, because I've seen some mixed reactions to this. That's sort of a very interesting, because it's basically doing, it's making a super diverse show. With, I believe it's a, the descriptions was it that, one of them is a black lesbian. One of them is a male who identifies as genderqueer. And one of them has a body like Martha Dump Truck. I don't know who that is. I assume Dump Truck is like a, it's not a real person, but, so basically what they're doing is they're making this super diverse, but they're also making them kind of the villains. Which is interesting.
Yeah.
And a little bit strange.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I don't know.
I'm not sure. Like I said, it's a very interesting idea to bring to television. Because like I said, I just don't know how long it could go. Because even like if you think of like, even if you haven't seen The Heathers, if you think about Mean Girls, like it's kind of like there's clearly a point A and a point B, and you don't need too long to get there.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see.
Maybe they want to do like a new Pretty Little Liars.
Oh, that's true. Perhaps. Yeah.
Like maybe it's just that under the Heathers.
It is kind of nice that they've diversified the cast in this way, because it's more indicative of like, I guess, high school today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more indicative of like pop culture today.
Mm-hmm.
So... I don't know if like this is not really like something that I'm gonna be rushing to watch, but I mean we'll
I'm
obviously
interested
keep an
to
eye
watch
it.
I mean if we consider it like a new Pretty Little Liars, that will also give, obviously the characters will have a lot of depth, they'll have a lot of secrets. There's probably like they are probably gonna be really sympathetic, even though they are technically the bullies. You know what I mean? Because they're the lead characters, and I would be curious to see what comes of this, especially because I have no attachment to the movies, obviously. So, I'll come into this with fresh eyes. So moving on now to another story that is interesting within my realm of interest, I guess. The CW has announced that it's picking up a new drama pilot called Searchers, and it actually comes from the creator of The 100, Jason Rothenberg, and it's a collaboration. He's written the pilot, but it's going to be, if it's picked up to series, it's going to be a collaboration between him and Greg Berlanti, who we all know from every superhero show on the CW. And the description of it via Deadline, it's called Searchers, and it's about a group of unlikely heroes who find themselves on the journey of a lifetime. Or it says, 10 years after the death of their parents, a pragmatic brother and free-spirited sister are forced to team up when they learn that their mother's terrifying and bizarre stories may be a roadmap to discovering the great legends, myths, and unexplainable mysteries of the world. So what I'm getting from this is that Bellamy and Octavia from The 100 in the world of Supernatural.
That's what I was going to say. Like, not the Bellamy stuff, but I haven't seen very much of Supernatural. It just kind of sounds like Supernatural.
Yes. Like, it sounds like Supernatural, but with a brother and sister instead. And I was referencing, because on The 100, there's a brother-sister team that sounds a lot like this description. A free-spirited sister and a pragmatic brother. Like, Bellamy's grown up to, like, always have to protect his sister, who's been, like, locked away, and then she's finally free, and she doesn't know what to do with that freedom. And like, it's so interesting, because Jason Rothenberg, obviously, he didn't technically create The 100, but the books are so different from the show that he basically created the show from scratch and all the characters. So it's so interesting to see that the pilot that he's been working on since, I think, late 2015 has a similar vibe, and is also about teenagers, it sounds like, and more supernatural, but sort of within what the CW is known for. And I'm intrigued by this. I think this sounds really good. And I think that Jason Rothenberg is a good storyteller. Obviously, there's a lot going on with The 100 right now that we get into at length. But I'm very excited about this. this new show.
This sounds really cool, but just because of the, you know, the obvious comparison to Supernatural, like you pointed out, I will be interested to see how, and I'm sure he'll do this, how he differentiates it enough from that, that people are going to mm-hmm. be interested to tune in, basically.
Well, you know what I was thinking is actually that obviously Supernatural is one of the, like, that seems like it should obviously have a spinoff and it doesn't, right? Because if you look at the Vampire Diaries,
they had that backdoor spinoff. Like, they tried, they did. Right?
Yeah. They did. They had Wayward Daughters that never amounted to anything. Supernatural is in its 12th season now. It's extremely lucrative. It's one of the flagship shows of the CW. And I'm not saying Searchers is secretly a backdoor pilot or spinoff of Supernatural, but I'm just saying it seems like with Supernatural, with The 100, trying to say, okay, well, can we make a drama that fits somewhere in between and pair it up with that? So that's part of their brand identity, because they have superheroes and then they have the quirky Jane the Virgin and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and stuff. And then they have this. And if they can link like The 100, Supernatural and Searchers, that's their brand of teen, dark, vaguely post-apocalyptic, horror-y stuff, then that fits in really well to that. So the similar vibe is probably intentional.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
And obviously, I mean, there's a lot of talk. We've been talking on Hypebull and on Hype about like what the future of The 100 may hold, because there's been all these controversies. And the Mark Pedowitz, the president of the CW, you know, says that he's really committed to continuing it, and its ratings have been fine. Like, there's no issue there. And obviously, Jason Rothenberg's involvement with this new show doesn't really mean anything for The 100 either way, because, you know, Greg Berlanti and Julie Plec and all these people on the CW, like, they are helming, or they're juggling more than one show at a time already. So it doesn't seem strange that Jason Rothenberg would do the same if this is picked up to series and if The 100 survives up until it does. Really interesting stuff all around. I'm loving what the CW is doing in general right now.
Yeah, I think that, like, what I love about the CW is that they put so much stock in their shows and they really give them the opportunity to grow.
Right. And I think, like, except for The Secret Circle, which never got the chance it deserved.
But I do appreciate that, despite like this past year, they were like, you know what? We don't care about ratings. We're not going to cut anything because we think that the shows will do well. And yes. I think that that's really great. I think more networks should be doing that, because these days it's so easy to cut things off, you know, faster right. than they can gain an audience. And I love that idea, that philosophy.
I think the CW also understands that so much of success in this industry right now is about fandom, you know? And I think the CW understands that more than anyone, that if you have a show, even if it gets mediocre ratings, if you have a show like Supernatural that has such a strong identity and such a strong presence with fandom and such a strong convention presence and such a strong online Tumblr presence, like, that stuff matters. And you can keep going with that for a long time. And I think, you know, look at The Vampire Diaries, look at The 100, look at, like, almost all of their shows, they have such incredibly strong, passionate, loyal, and or, you know, very, very loud fan bases. And I think what we're seeing the CW do with that at the moment, and some people are not happy about this, but I think it's great, is that they're kind of maturing up a little bit. You know, they're not saying, they're not making programs for teenagers, basically, or necessarily. They are making complicated, darker dramas, tackling big issues, but packaging it for fandom of all ages. And I think, you know, obviously sometimes those gambles pay off better times than others. I think we can all agree that the last season of The 100 was darker than perhaps its audience was prepared to accept. You know, it's not HBO, it's not AMC. They can't get away with trying to be The Walking Dead, but they are doing some stuff that they never would have done earlier. And if you look at the kind of darkness on The Vampire Diaries and Supernatural, you know, it's not necessarily for teenagers anymore. And I think they're diversifying that brand in that way. And it's very, very interesting to see where they're going with it and how they're trying to compete with cable and Netflix and all of that stuff. Like the approach they're taking is so different from what anyone else is doing.
You know what? I totally agree. And it's a really smart way not to alienate your potential audience. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're so successful. I think that the mm-hmm. CW, I think people forget like how much they put out sometimes, especially with all the superhero shows. But if you really stop and think about it, like you're kind of getting, you were getting to is like, basically like they're kind of like leading the pack, I would say, in terms of like just the reach that they get and the stuff that they're putting out. Like obviously they have a lot of superhero shows, but they really have been trying to diversify their lineup over the past few years. And it's definitely one of the networks that I'm constantly keeping tabs on as far as like what's coming up, what's coming next and things like that, because they've been doing such a good job. And it's kind of like the renaissance I feel like kind of started when they started picking up like things like The Vampire Diaries, Arrow, things like that. And yeah, they're in like a really nice golden age for the network, because after all of their like high school dramas kind of tapered off, they were in that really awkward spot. And I think they've come back to like a nice sweet spot. And it's going to be really interesting to see how they progress over the next few years.
Yeah. Yeah. Some might call it a crimson era.
Ooh.
Because it's so dark and bloody.
Yes.
But I think you're right. Moving on from the CW, I could talk about the CW all day, you guys. I think it's so cool. But we do have something else to talk about. And this is basically just a roundup of Americans getting awesome stuff, I guess, because you guys are so loud about it or whatever. First of all, the adaptation of J.K. Rowling or Robert Galbraith's Cormoran Strike series is coming to HBO in America. And obviously in the UK, it will air on BBC, like most things, but HBO will be airing it, what's called the Cormoran Strike Mysteries in America. And I don't know if it's going to be the same time yet. I assume it will be, but it's nice to know that Americans will be getting this at some, you know, and when and where they'll be getting it, basically. We also found out earlier this week that Sherlock season 4 this year will arrive in the US at the same time as the UK. So Sherlock fans should be very excited about this. So congratulations, America. You really needed an entertainment win. Meanwhile, I'll be over here waiting for Moana.
That's the title this week. Meanwhile in Denmark.
Yes. Still waiting for Moana.
This is, you know, selfishly, I'm very happy about this because it means that I don't have to find a legal means to watch Sherlock. Okay. Good news all around, right? Mm-hmm. Shall we move on to our last story of the week?
Yes.
Okay, in a little bit of surprising tech news, Twitter announced that they are shutting down Vine. That is right. You will no longer have a place to get your fix of 6-second videos. This is actually really surprising considering that there so many like social media influencers have made a name for themselves on this particular platform. But at the same time, if you think about all of the competitors, it is also not surprising. I mean, you have Instagram, which allows you to post longer videos, for example. They just put out a feature that's very similar to Snapchat, where you can like update your feed for 24 hours. There's Snapchat, of course, as well, that people are using to create similarly funny short video series. And then of course, like Facebook has Facebook Live. So in an age where technology is constantly evolving and there's more and more competitors out there that are doing similar things to you, mm-hmm. it also kind of it's like surprising in a way, but it's not in another way. In a blog post announcing this, Twitter also told everybody not to worry. The platform would still be around for a while, enough time for you to save all of your vines that you don't want to disappear forever. And the website will still be active so you can go back and revisit old favorites and things like that. So they're very committed to slowly phasing this out in a way that's not going to be super jarring for everybody. But it is the end of an era. So that's basically that.
I just feel so bad. Like, I've never watched a vine in my life. But I know there are people like genuinely, you know, have worked their asses off to become quote unquote Vine stars. And it's kind of like, I know it's not on the same level, but like if they shut down Twitter, I would be like, what the hell do I do? Because that's like my primary social media platform. And in a way, I think I would be really happy and relieved and just go run around in the forest and sing because I finally had time in real life to do stuff. But at the same time, it is sort of, it's a big part of my online identity. And I was just thinking if I had something like that for Vine, like a lot of people would feel like if they shut down Instagram or if they shut down YouTube or something, you know, it would be a big deal. So I just, yeah. I feel really bad for those people.
I will say I'm not familiar with, I like YouTube. I casually understand Vine. And I will say that I can only speak for bigger creators, but people like Cameron Dallas, for example, like has clearly moved on from his Vine success, like still obviously uses the platform, but is hopping over to Netflix to have his own reality show, things like that. Like mm-hmm. a lot of these creators, they kind of, they start on Vine and they dip into other things like YouTube to create longer videos or even Instagram. Lele Pons, who is another ridiculously successful creator who started on Vine, like she, I don't follow her on Vine because Vine, you know, the thing about Vine too that I hate is that it takes up so much battery on my phone. It's like not easy okay. to watch. That's a side note. Anyway, like I follow her on Instagram for her, you know, for her comedy, and she's able to post 60-second videos instead of 6 seconds. And not that she's not
right.
good at the 6-second comedy, but it's nicer to see like a longer piece from her. Another creator that has jumped over to YouTube as well to create longer form videos and stuff like that. So I'm not sure how it is for smaller creators, but I know a lot of the larger Vine stars, like they have like transitioned over to like a multitude of social media platforms. So I'm sure it's not going to affect them so much as people that are maybe just starting out or people that really do make their livelihood specifically just on Vine. And it is going to be really jarring and I feel bad for those people, but mm-hmm. yeah. I guess it's the nature of the beast.
I guess so. But anyway, so that brings us to the end of the news. I did want to bring up, first of all, I feel bad because I promised this would be the top news story and we didn't even mention it. But 13 Going on 30, the best movie of all time, is going to be a Broadway musical. This might be the one I make the trip for, you guys. It wasn't Hamilton. It's going to be 13 Going on 30. Oh, no, I'm kidding. But it is kind of fun. And I was saying on Hypeable, I hope they get the rights to some of that amazing, iconic 80s music that they use in the film. And the other one, I guess you should take this one and, you know, yeah. plug the special.
We didn't talk about this in the news, but the new Gilmore Girls trailer has been released and we all laughed. And if you're like me, you also sobbed silently at your computer because it was so beautiful. And the reason we didn't talk about this is because Marima and I know that Selena's trying to stay relatively spoiler free as she
oh no I totally watched
did you watch
the trailer.
It oh my gosh
no I'm kidding oh. I'm kidding
I don't know
but I love was. How outraged you got.
Oh, I was like, oh no, it was more like surprise. I was like, oh, this is something that you were like, you allowed yourself to watch. That's
no
great.
No. So and I'm even sad, you know what I'm sad about? I got spoiled that Emily Gilmore is wearing jeans. Like that's how upset I am about spoilers.
That's a big deal for Emily.
I know,
that's
I know.
Huge. Nobody ever would have thought. So anyway, if you want to hear all of our thoughts on the Gilmore Girls trailer, Marima and I sat down to record a little mini special. We thought it was going to be really short, you guys. It's actually like 40 minutes because we couldn't help ourselves. And you can actually watch along with us. So we tell you when to hit start and we tell you when to hit stop. And we have all the time codes in there for like the 2 minutes and 30 seconds of awesome that we got. So if you want to hear our extended thoughts and reactions to this, you can head over to Hypeable to access that. Of course, like if you're not already subscribed to us on iTunes, please subscribe to the show on iTunes so you can get
yes.
alerted exactly when all of these things come out. But it's a really fun special, and let us know what you think, and let us know if you like that format, because there is the potential to do that more in the future. But keep
yes, your comments. Yes, I'm for sure going to listen to that right now.
Keep your comments spoiler-free for Selena. Remember, she's still going into this spoiler-free, and we're working on recording the last two episodes for our Gilmore Girls yes, series.
You guys, I'm almost done with season six now. Oh, my God.
Woo, that means
everything sucks, and I want to cry, but whatever.
That means I need to start because I realized I was rocketing through that season way faster than I wanted to, and so I stopped at, like, I don't know, like three episodes till the end. I was like, I'll wait until Selena catches up to watch these. So yeah. I'll be refreshed for like the finale of that season. That means I have to start up now.
Yes, you will. Well, we'll get back to you guys when we're going to be doing that special. Hopefully soon, because we do need to catch up. We're kind of running out of time now. Anyway, we will get back to you guys on Twitter, etc., with what's happening with that special. For now, let's move on into TV show of the week, where we each have picked a TV show to talk about. And I'm actually gonna talk on Megan's recommendation. She's at Meg HANC7585 on Twitter. She said, for so many of you guys being Agent Carter / Hayley Atwell fans, I can't believe you haven't talked a lot about Conviction. Megan, you are right. That is an outrage. So just for you, I watched the Conviction pilot. Or should I say, I watched the 30 minutes of the Conviction pilot that I didn't watch when it first aired. Because I did actually watch the first 10 minutes of it. I will say, I think there's a reason that we haven't talked a lot about Conviction. I've only seen the pilots. I was not a fan. I love Agent Carter. I love Hayley Atwell. I think she's outstanding. But I'm not a procedural fan. And I think if there's going to be a procedural that I will watch, it has to have a hook. And I think the problem with the Conviction pilot, and I don't know if you've seen it, you can maybe speak to that too, or any listeners, the problem with the Conviction pilot is that it didn't have a hook. It was, you know, this group of characters that each had like three or four defining personality traits coming together to solve murder cases, and that did not catch my attention. Like, as much as I love Hayley Atwell, that's, I just do not think the show is for me. I've heard the second episode is better, and maybe when I have more time, I'll go back, but I'm just not a procedural person, unfortunately. Have you had a chance to check it out, Pam?
No, because I like you, love Hayley Atwell, but it just...
But you didn't even see Agent Carter,
no,
did you?
No, I have not, because, and you know, this is like the worst reasoning for it, but it's because I just did not like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I stopped watching that after the first, like, three episodes because I was so bored by it, but I hear it gets better, so I need to get back to that. And I think in my brain I was like, oh, I can't watch Agent Carter because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but that doesn't make any sense because they're two different trajectories. So it's on my
and
list.
Time zones. Yeah. And or time zones. But, I mean, timelines.
But I think like you, I need to, for me to get into a procedural, I need to be like completely invested from what the trailer like offers. And I just, aside from Hayley Atwell, it just didn't really pique my interest. So and with so much new TV coming out, specifically this season, I've been trying to prioritize like what I need to watch, what I want to watch versus like what I, you know, am recommended to watch. Because if I watched everything, I would go crazy. So long story short, it was not at the top of my list. So I just haven't given it a chance. But
I still will say it's always worth watching those two seasons. Like, it's, we've talked about that before. It's like your aesthetic, and you will just feel happier having seen it, you know. I think it's just, and it has nothing to do with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in no way is it similar to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I am as the listeners may know, I had the same thing with as Pam with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I did go back and watch it. I'm up to date now, and I'm loving it now. But Agent Carter is a very different show, so everyone should go back and watch that.
So I have a problem, Selena, because I want to talk about The Walking Dead, but I'm scared to talk about spoilers because I don't want everybody to hate me.
You know what, Pam? I think you're okay, because I think the spoiler zone ended five hours after the episode aired. Like, people were hashtagging Rip Glenn and people were interviewing him all over the place. Like, my newsfeed was full of nothing but people being angry about Glenn. And your pick was also mentioned occasionally, though apparently nobody cared about him.
Because Glenn was so jarring. Oh my god. Oh my god. Okay, well, like, spoiler splash warning. If you haven't watched, then I'm sorry, I guess, but not sorry.
If you
sorry.
Haven't been on Twitter seeing Rip Glenn.
Oh my god, Selena, I'm not over it. It took me almost the whole week to not see the image of Glenn and his eyeball. Oh, every time I closed my eyes, it was so, it was almost too much. I'm still not sure how I feel about this. I don't even know. I think.
Do you think they crossed the line?
I think they might have. It was more than I think anybody expected. But what I will say about AMC is that I'm constantly impressed by how far they push the envelope and how much they let slide. Because you have to remember that they're not an HBO, they're not a Showtime, and this was really graphic. It was really, it was really graphic. It was really intense. I think that, like, this is up there with one of the, like, one of the episodes of TV that I have cried most during ever in my life. It was just so intense. I think with Abraham, it was kind of, you saw it coming more than with Glenn. And I think that everybody was confused, not confused, but I think that everybody kind of thought that if Glenn were to die at the hands of Negan, which is what he does in the comics, it would happen later because they, you know, had already chosen to kill off, like, somebody. And it would have, it just, like, I think that they expected a curveball, but not the way that it happened. Because they psyched everybody out over Glenn's death last season. And then Negan showed up. And then when Abraham got the first blow, everyone was like, oh, okay, like, they're going to save it. And we're just going to be constantly on edge over whether Glenn gets killed or not. And then all of a sudden, like, he's whacking Glenn over the head. And it was, oh my gosh. Like, this is, like, I think that they have talked before, the creators have talked before about how this is kind of resetting the whole balance in this universe. And that's really what it is. Because we've seen, like, Sinister and we've seen evil, but nothing like this. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be really interesting to see how it progresses. Because I clearly am a masochist, it's not going to turn me off from watching the rest of the season. I've talked to a couple people that are like, I'm not sure if I'm going to tune in today because that was, like, a little too much. But I'm still going to be watching. So that's not a problem. But I still don't know how I feel about the whole situation, mainly because it was so bloody, and I'm not sure if it was necessary to show as much as they did, because they did so much last season with fading to black and just the sound effects. That's the whole thing. Like, I think they drew it out a lot more than I thought they were going to, and I think that that's what made me a little uncomfortable.
Well, I think it's an interesting situation, and I think it's particularly interesting in light of, if you remember, like, it must have been a couple of years ago now that the Game of Thrones killed off Shireen in that horrible, horrible way that they did. And I wrote an article saying, I think it went too far. You know, I think that when you've come to a point when you literally have to burn children on a stake and make the audience watch to catch their attention, I think you've gone too far. I think we, basically, as a society, if this is the stuff that we put on and call entertainment or art, I think that's messed up as hell. And I got so much flack for that article. I, you know, people were like, how dare you write this? And, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I just, I still feel similarly when I see stuff like this. Like, also on Game of Thrones, when they killed off Pablo Pascal's character, is that his name?
Yeah, Pedro Pascal. I almost couldn't watch. Actually, I think I turned away.
Right. That was another image that haunted me for a long time. I feel tough. Like, saying it, it feels like you're sort of trying to censor or whatever, but I'm just like, why is this what these shows need to do to shock us now? Like, how have we come so far that it takes this? And I think this is the same thing you were talking about. Like, it's not going to turn you off from watching. The stuff with Shireen didn't turn me off from watching Game of Thrones, but I was left feeling like, why, what does it say about us that that the people making entertainment think that they need to go this far to shock us. You know, how can that be? What has happened to us in that way? And I think that this is just sort of another, a continuation of that topic.
It is.
Did they really need to go that far because they thought that otherwise the audience wouldn't be shocked because they basically, you know, numbed us to everything else?
And I think that, like, I've been talking to a few people about the way that this played out specifically. And I think that just because they killed off two main characters in the season finale, people are now going back to, sorry, not in the season finale, in the season premiere, people are now going back to last season's finale where they kind of left everybody on a cliffhanger. And I think people are like, if they were upset about that, then they're even more upset about it now, because right. it's kind of like a huge, like some people think it's a huge fan disservice because The Walking Dead doesn't need big cliffhangers like that to keep people coming back. But then the mm-hmm. fact that they chose to kill off two people, it's like, well, why didn't they just like, you know, it's just like, it's very strange. It's very interesting to kind of like.
It is literally overkill.
Well, yeah, it is. Oh, exactly. But I think that there's a lot of like, there's a lot of mixed reactions on across like a wide variety of situations and levels from the Walking Dead community right now. And it's just, yeah, I'm interested to hear what our listeners think, because some people were like, that was intense, but like, I have a friend that was kind of justifying it like, oh, but like, it wasn't that bad because like, yeah, like Glenn's death was super realistic, but everything else looked super fake. And so they compensated. I'm like, no, I think you're trying to make yourself feel better. Okay. Like that was really bad. It was really bad. And you didn't see it coming. So then by the time that it's happening, you're almost so shocked that you can't close your eyes or look away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it was just so heavy. And it took me like, I'm not even joking. It took me a little over a week. I was still thinking about this on like Wednesday and like Thursday. Wow. Finally, like I think around Friday, I was like, okay, like now it's not at the forefront of my brain, but it really stuck with me for a long, long time. And I guess that was their intent, but I would like to know but if our listeners say, though, think that they crossed the line or not, because I almost kind of feel like for me, it did.
Interesting. I mean, and I will say for sure, like as a general rule, I think for me with TV, it's not so much the violence or blood or death or anything that gets to me. It's, I think some shows really toe the line between, you know, drama shows in particular, of making the characters go through terrible things as a way of growing the characters. You know, like you have a group of main characters, you kill someone off to advance the character's story, or you make someone experience something really terrible to advance the story. And then you have shows that are literally just trying to cause as much pain as possible, and they sort of they don't care about the characters. They only care about making the audience care about the characters in order to elicit a response when those characters inevitably suffer and die. And I think a show like The Walking Dead, a show like Game of Thrones, maybe some other shows on TV right now, they are sometimes in danger of forgetting about their characters in favor of focusing on the audience. And I think that's where they lose me personally. And I would, this is a bigger discussion, you know, that we don't have to have right now, but I just think it's something that's very interesting to keep in mind, especially now that we're watching a lot of TV and we're trying to decide what to watch and what not to watch. For me, the writers keeping their focus on character and story is very important.
And that's a good point. I think that if it's going to make me feel better, I think it's going to make me feel better about this situation, maybe if it serves more of a purpose, because right now it just kind of feels like it was meant to shock. And I think, like they could have done that equally as well without showing as much as they did.
Mm-hmm.
So, but those are just my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be very excited. I mean, anyone who's watched it, please write in and let us know. We can maybe just pick it up again next week and talk a little bit more about it, because I think it's a topic that deserves more coverage, you know, because it is a big thing in pop culture right now. But we do have a lot of listener feedback to get through. I think right before our last recording, I asked you guys for your TV show recommendations, and we had just recorded and then they started flooding in. So we haven't been able to get to them until now, and I'm really sorry, but hopefully we will get some good recs this time. Let's start with a comment that we got on hypeable.com. Pam, do you want to take that one?
Sure. This is from James L., who says, this is actually more directed at you, I guess. Are you going to do a Black Mirror special? Also, have you seen Class yet?
Mm-hmm. Well, as for the first part, I still have not watched Black Mirror because I have been so busy watching The Crown and Gilmore Girls. I'm so excited to watch it. Hopefully, I'll be able to do it next week. And I don't know if we're going to do a special, because if it's just me, it would just be a one-woman special, and that might be strange.
Is it one season only, or how many seasons are they?
It's
on?
One season. It's okay. Six episodes.
Well,
and you don't need to have watched any of the past Black Mirror to watch this one.
Well, maybe after we finish Gilmore Girls, we can revisit that idea. But I think our plates are full for the imminent future. But we're not ruling it out.
Definitely not. And the thing about Black Mirror, obviously it would be better if we got it out sooner, but because it's a Netflix show, it kind of has a longer shelf life. And it's an anthology series, so we could even do like a special on just one if there was one that was particularly good or worth talking about. But we'll definitely be doing more with Black Mirror in the coming weeks, though, so stay tuned for sure. And as for Class, I haven't seen it yet. It's been another one of those that I've fallen behind on.
I know. I was so excited about it. And I think I completely forgot. It's been a crazy couple of weeks for everybody on the show. So I think we just kind of forgot that it was coming out like so soon. But on, I think, most of our lists. So
Check back with us next week. Yeah, maybe. Next week.
I'll try and one watch of us it will this have week. Seen it. Yeah. I'll put it on my calendar.
Yes. Okay, so going into our tweets, don't forget you too can tweet us at HypeableHype. Our first one was from Megan again, and she said, Merima, was it you that brought up David Sedaris on Hype? I think it was, but regardless, I love him too. I think it was too.
That was, yes.
And do you want to say?
Sure. Do you just want to go back and forth?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So Laura Morrow tweeted us and said, I also love Baby Daddy. We were talking about Freeform shows a couple of episodes ago, I believe. She says, it's super funny, but also has heartfelt moments. Then again, I really enjoy many ABC Family now Freeform shows, including Switched at Birth, The Fosters, and of course, Pretty Little Liars. She also says, I really loved the first three episodes of Timeless. Also, long ago, you guys did a poll about maybe starting a Patreon, a Hype Patreon. Any news on that front? Well.
No.
Ish,
and yes.
And yes.
full disclosure, we are thinking about doing some stuff, and we asked for a reason, and we're gonna be asking again about some other things, because for Hype, you know, we have some plans with Hype. We have some plans for more specials and interviews and restructuring of the format and just kind of tweaking it a little bit and making it, you know, the best listening experience possible. And some of that may involve moving in that direction, and we will be very, very curious to hear more from the listeners too as we begin to go in that direction. Is there anything we want to ask people right now? Is it too soon?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's, I mean, we're sounding so cagey right now. The process of planning the show does not end when we stop recording. We are constantly talking about ways to make things more exciting and more just better for all of you guys, because we appreciate that you guys love the show so much because we love doing it. And so we're constantly trying to make more and do more. So I guess, like, regardless of whether or not we start something like this tomorrow or in a couple of months, the most important thing is, of course, listener feedback. So I guess the big question we would have for everybody is like, what would you like to see? Because we obviously, we have talked about some ideas before, but like, if in the event that a Hype Patreon were to come to fruition? Is there something that you specifically would like to see or that would perhaps entice you to graciously donate to what we do on here? So if you have any thoughts on that, feel free to email us or tweet us, or email and Twitter, I think, would be the best.
Yeah, but, for sure. Yeah. And then we'll sort of keep you guys in, you know, updated as we
move into
talk about it more. Yeah, exactly. But we hope you guys have obviously enjoyed the content that we have been getting to so far.
Mm-hmm. And we've got some really exciting stuff coming up. There's a special coming out this week sometime. And of course, we have the regular shows and Gilmore Girls very soon. So there's lots of fun stuff in store for you guys.
Mm-hmm. So on that cryptic note, Emmy also wanted to let us know that Timeless is her favorite new show of the season. And she's also, you know, just commenting on the Lando Calrissian, Donald Glover casting. So she's super psyched. So Timeless, yeah, that's been getting a couple of recs. So I guess that has to go on our never-ending list as well. Whoosh.
I've still only watched the first episode. I want to watch more, though, so... I'm glad that everybody's been enjoying it. It entices me to, like, make an effort to catch up, basically. Mm-hmm. I put this comment in here from our friend Mike, who's actually out with Marima right now, because it's kind of... I wanted to give a shout-out to you. So he said, the best part of Hype's Gilmore Girls specials, in addition to the persistent insight Marima and Pam provide, is the hypeable / Gilmore Girls mashup theme music. I had no idea this was a thing until I saw this tweet, and I happened to be on a call with Marima at the time, and she goes, Selena made this awesome theme music, and I went and listened to it, and it's brilliant, and I'm so
it's only been 5 episodes. I know, no, like, one's saying anything.
It's so good. But we got another comment. I feel like we got a couple comments about this. I just didn't put them all in because we try and save all the Gilmore Girls feedback for the Gilmore Girls specials. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to put this one in here because it's like a shout out to you, because I thought it was so brilliant and like I want it forever. It's so good. It's so great.
Well, you know, I mean, not that I don't, you know, I can't just do it, whatever. But yes, I am very proud of that one. So thanks, Mike. Thanks for acknowledging me and my effort. I think it blends really well. I had to change some of the like speed and pitch and stuff, and now it actually sounds like it blends together really nicely, so I'm very proud of it.
It's amazing. I was obviously, like, we don't usually listen back to our own shows, so I just had no idea it existed, but it's so good, so I'm really happy that
wants the ringtone, I can done that before, actually. Yeah, I may have done that for somebody already.
How fun would that be? Maybe I should just change my ringtone to that through the month of November to get into the Gilmore Girls spirit. And, you know, maybe it'll be a talking point if I'm, like, out in public. Like, oh, what's that? I'm like, oh, it's just my podcast, like, Gilmore Girls ringtone.
Viral marketing. Exactly. I love it. Okay, so moving on. Amy Licht says, American Horror Story has been really good this season. Very happily surprised considering I hated Hotel. Yes, it seems like it's been getting a lot of great feedback.
Yeah. My bartender yesterday looked like Evan Peters, and I was, like, really excited, but also slightly, like, creeped out by it at the same time. All right. Fun stories with Pam. The Lady Ash says, I feel better about my hypeable Patronus quiz results than all 5 of my Pottermore ones. That's another shout out for you, Selena. And the explanation made sense. Selena's Patronus quiz is amazing, you guys. If you haven't taken it yet, just go search hypeable Patronus quiz and it pops up.
Yeah. Intro music and Patronus quiz. That's pretty much my specialty.
Your contribution.
Yeah. I peaked early.
That's such a lie. She does so much for the show. You're too humble. The Lady Ash also sent in some TV recs. So she continues, TV show rec, Project Runway. It's been a fun season so far with a really diverse cast. I feel like the season opened doors. Brooklyn Nine-Nine just did their Halloween episode, which is one I look forward to every year. And then non-TV rec, Poe Party is fantastic. I watched the first 8 episodes. Great cast, very funny. It's from our hype friends, Mary-Kate Wiles and Joey Richter. I watched a couple episodes too. It's really good. Have you seen
it? Yes, I mean... I've seen 1 episode, and I feel bad because I need to watch more, and it's one of the things I just never did. But yeah, we had them on. We had a special with them when they were promoting it, and it's really fun to see, it come to life, and it's just really, really just impressive.
Yeah, and that's, you're right, because we had them on like so much, like there was so much time between when we had them on and then when it finally aired, but they're great. Mm-hmm. We love them, and yeah, we're always excited to see what they're doing together, so it's great. Mm-hmm. We're glad you guys are liking it.
Yeah. And Natalia H is also talking about Donald Glover as Lando. She says, hot. I had zero intention of watching that movie, and now I'm considering it.
I like it. Katie also is reacting to Donald Glover as Lando. Says, Donald was the best and only choice. So happy. And halfway through Luke Cage, and it's awesome. Really love the music of the show.
Great. Amazing. KSC says, yay, Donald, and How to Get Away with Murder is great this season, full of insightful character moments and great twists. Glad to hear it. I watched first season and then I fell out of it. I might fall back into it one day.
Same. I liked the first season too. Mm-hmm. It's another Shondaland production, so yeah. We kind of already know it's going to be fun. Mark says, like Selena, I'm not super excited yet about the Nintendo Switch, but what I am excited about is the NES Classic Mini.
Yes.
Even I'm excited about that.
I am wishing for that for Christmas.
I like it. I hope that Santa drops it.
I hope on your, so too.
Not doorstep, but like your mantle, your Christmas mantle under the tree, if you will.
Yeah, he can, anywhere is fine.
Yeah, anywhere.
Just give it to me. It.
Mark also updated us because he had written before about how he was going to marathon all 8 movies at a local theater, and it looked like it was going well, so hopefully you did not fall asleep, Mark, and hopefully it was fun.
Yeah. And our final comment comes from Martha Gutierrez, who says Gutierrez is her name. She said, got caught up with Pitch following Pam's recommendation. It's really great. Kylie Bunbury is awesome. Yes, Pitch is so good.
Did you watch this last week's episode? Amazing.
I haven't yet. Oh my gosh! Unfortunately,
Kevin Connolly is on there, and it's like, oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's about the trade deadlines. I'm so invested in Pitch. You guys, it's not even funny. It's just like because I follow baseball. Like, you know, I'm a huge San Francisco Giants fan, and the Padres they play in the same division as the Giants. They're both in the National League West. So all of this stuff is like, it gets so intense for me on a personal level, but it's just so good.
It's so good. And like, it's such an amazing show. It's one of my absolute favorites of the new season. I was so impressed, like a couple of weeks ago, Shamir Anderson, who's also on Wynonna Earp, popped up, and I was like, oh my God.
He was
I feel
so
like I've had
great.
That a couple of times. Yeah. Yes, he was. It's they're all so good.
And Kylie Bunbury is great. Just watch the show, you guys. It's amazing. You don't need to be a baseball fan to be invested. It's just so great. It's good TV.
And please watch it live because it's not getting the ratings that it deserves and needs. And it's really worrying that it's going to get canceled because it's so good.
I know. It's really hard right now, too, because, like, I mean, in real time, the Cubs and the Indians are in the middle of the World Series, which sometimes airs on Fox. And it's just, I think the thing I hate most about fall TV is that everything has to take a break for sports, and it's just really unfortunate. I almost kind of wish it would start in October because, you know, and then they wouldn't have this problem. But yes, like try and watch live because I want season 2, you guys. I want a season 2 of Pitch.
Yes. Do it for Pam. Okay, so do you want to get the iTunes review?
Sure. Every once in a while, even though it feels like so much like of a self-pat on the back, we do like to highlight, you know, any iTunes reviews we do get. It's such a huge part of what makes this show stand out. So if you guys have a spare moment and you wouldn't mind, head over to iTunes and rate us highly and leave us a nice little comment because it helps us get more exposure. It helps us gain new listeners. And ultimately, that all feeds into making sure that we're able to lock in some of the awesome special guests that we do get to have on the show every once in a while. So with that being said, we have a lovely iTunes review from I Love My Books 818, who said, I love their How We Hype the News and the Music segment. Even when there aren't a lot of hosts, the podcast is still interesting and entertaining. So that's very sweet.
Apropos,
yes,
for this episode.
There's only two of us.
Yeah.
We try and bring our big personalities in when there's just two of us, so that you guys don't feel like you're missing
out on anything. We're extra bombastic this week, yeah. No, thank you so much for that review. And just to echo Pam, rating us 5 stars on iTunes is pretty much the best way that you can help us grow and attract more interesting interview opportunities and more opportunities to just make the show better. So if you do want to do that for us, that would be absolutely amazing, and we would thank you forever. And thank you too for enjoying our smaller host panels, because as you have noticed, we have had a lot of trouble scheduling everyone, and we have sort of slimmed down the panel of hosts a little bit, and we hope that you guys are still enjoying it. And let us know, as usual, any specials or anything else you want us to do. If you have any feedback for us, if you have any more TV shows to add to our ever-growing list, you can do that by emailing hype@hypeable.com. You can find us on Twitter @hypeablehype. You can find us on hypeable.com, which is hypeable.com. You can send us a message on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. And you can leave us an iTunes review. 5 stars, please. That would help us so much.
And don't forget to subscribe. Please subscribe.
And please subscribe. Yeah, even if you don't want to review us, please subscribe on iTunes. You will never miss an episode. And, you know, every little helps, as they say in Tesco, to keep it British.
That's amazing. Bring it all back to the beginning of the show with the crowd.
Exactly. We're back, everybody. Hello. And goodbye.
Farewell. Cheerio. Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry if you live in the UK. I'm so sorry.
Okay, that's the end, you guys. Goodbye. My name is
Bye. Bye. My name is Pamela.
And my British name is Selena.
My British name is still Pamela, so
yeah, not that different.
Oh my gosh, we need to stop now before it
I know
before it goes too far. We've already gone too far.
Ooh, yes.